With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with the Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Thanks for joining me for another Blunt. This is here on CannabisRadio.com. My next guest is a repeat guest from this past January, and he's based in the very bustling New York State cannabis market, where he counsels clients on various business matters, including structure, expansion, formation, sale, and dissolution of business entities and partnerships, regulatory compliance, internal and external best practices, compliance audits, and general advice concerning complex and novel issues of law. He's back again to join us to talk about the latest that's been going on with the issues in the ongoing growing. And we talked last time about the conditional adult use retail dispensary license, or the CAURD licenses, that have been granted initially when we talked back in January to the first retail dispensaries in New York State. I'm back once again with the lead of the cannabis practice team at Feral Fritz. Jason Little is on with me once again. Jason, thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So I wanted to bring on here on the program here just because there is more to what's going on in New York. And yeah, it's a good time to go and come back 10 months, just to see where we are right now. So as we record now, the state of New York, they're license application window has opened again as of October 4th. There are five license types now available: cultivator, processor, distributor, retail dispensary, and micro business. And so there have been people that have been talking about this, but I wanted to just get your take right now on what is available, what you know about so far in the process for those that are looking to go ahead and make another attempt to get a CAURD license. What can you tell me right now so far, what you've been getting from your take?
Yeah, thank you so much. It feels like 10 years and not 10 months, but it's only been 10 months. So the license process was opened by OCM. If everybody that's listening isn't familiar, there was a lawsuit filed by a group of disabled veterans against the card licensees. And essentially, that lawsuit says that the actual law, MRTA, doesn't include special recognition for folks with prior marijuana-related criminal convictions outside of the social equity applicants. And there was a judge in Albany who granted an injunction that stopped the process for card licensees, not those who had already got operational, but those who had been licensed but not operational. It doesn't seem like too big of a jump to think that that had something to do with the Office of Cannabis Management opening up licensing, not just on the adult use dispensary side, but also with respect to the other license application categories: cultivator, processor, distributor, and microbusiness, which had been originally opened at times prior, cultivator being first, what seems like forever ago, over 2 years ago, and closing and not opening again until October 4th. So the status of licensing in New York now mirrors a little bit more what MRTA, the Marijuana Act in New York, contemplated when it was originally passed. And all of those categories are open, and they're open for all people. We can discuss separately registered organizations such as current medical marijuana companies, both in the state and outside of the state, because it's open to them under the new regulations as well. But that's kind of where we are in the license process. We've went back, we've opened up the priorly closed cultivator, processor, distributor licenses. We've opened micro business, and we've opened for provisional and final licensing adult use retail shops outside of the card application process.
And people should also be aware that this current round of licensees, there's two deadlines that are to be noted: November 3rd, 5 p.m. Eastern; December 4th, 5 p.m. Eastern. The 60-day application window is for those areas. And prior to submitting, retail dispensaries and microbusinesses engaging in retail sales must give at least 30 days notice to the municipality for the intent to open shop prior to submitting application. A lot of untangling of what is still expected after the fact. And as you said, when it comes to legacy operators, for those that are getting social equity licenses, it's amazing. I won't go into too far of a tangent, but to know how New York has it and how they can get it right when it comes to social equity legacy operators, when I had to go talk to someone that is the chairman of the I-71 committee, the D.C. market, District of Columbia, and what a mess it is down there to be able to get cannabis to market now in that market with all the entanglement, because it's not a state. And they still have federal oversight that's more or less still kind of hindering and making a lot of obstacles in their process. So New York doesn't even have anything close like this, but New York is still, they are the tip of the spear for the cannabis industry right now. Everybody's keeping an eye on New York. There's every bit of talk that's going on about this to see that things are done right. At the end of this, of these rounds here, what can you tell me, what's the expectation of how many licenses will be doled out right now, between now and the end of the year, Jason?
Yeah, well, there's no cap. So that's the first thing to understand, right? So there is no cap. If I am going off memory here, there are upwards of 300 to 400 card licenses that were issued. I only believe 36 of those on the original go around, and I don't believe all of those stores are operational. If we're guesstimating, I would anticipate that they would probably double that. I don't know if we'll get that before the new year. The December 4 deadline will come. That will close off the application process. OCM is waiting until November 4 before they actually consider any of the applications closed. And you mentioned the reason why. There's a provision in MRTA that requires 30-day notice before the submission of an application for the municipality to review and opt out to the extent they have. I think the municipalities are way ahead of OCM on this at this point. 2.5 years later, they have generally opted in, or if they've opted out, they've done so. And a lot of those folks have actually put in their own types of local regulations that fit within the sphere and scope of MRTA, not necessarily the proactive OCM regulations. So it's complicated to answer the question as to number. I don't think we'll get a ton more before the new year, just because I think OCM will review, the review process for OCM will be,
right,
you know, 30 to 60 days. It was historically, right? Now, if they're fast tracking it, you know, we could get another 200 or 300 retail licensees. Cultivator licenses, I think, are going to be limited more in number, and we've talked about that, I think, a little last time. You know,
right,
takes a different type of capital and a different type of ability to apply for and actually be able to implement those licenses. But you know, they're open.
So I want to ask now about those obstacles. There's some complications now in terms of new regulations that were pushed out by the Cannabis Control Board back in September. So a couple of things I want to point out here that really caught my attention. Number one, about when it comes to investors, they can have an interest in multiple licenses. They cannot simultaneously have a stake in retail operations like a dispensary and a supply side business like a nursery, even if one of the two is in a different state. The other thing I noticed too is when it comes to cannabis businesses that are medical and want to switch to adult use now as retailers and wholesalers, you know, unlike most firms besides micro businesses, these companies are permitted to grow, manufacture, and sell goods. But they're going to have to pay a special licensing fee of $20 million, allowing 3 adult use dispensaries in locations where they already sell medical. Wait a minute. $20 million before you can go ahead and make the switch? Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so it is, you know, Murta originally had, you know, a person, not per se, it was a prohibition against the medical companies from coming in and having any stake, especially in the retail space of marijuana, because of the shortages that have been created, mainly because this has taken a long time to get licensees both approved and up and operational. A lot of different reasons. We can probably spend hours and hours talking about, you know, the ins and outs of why that happened, but it happened. And they are going to rely, OCM, I mean, is going to rely on these medical companies to do two things. One, raise revenue that hasn't been raised at this point from a tax base that doesn't exist because the retail sales are not there. And number two, to open and create a market through folks who have the capacity to do so far more quickly than, say, a social equity applicant or even a group of them would, right? So they are permitting them meaning a registered organization, medical marijuana companies, to come in on the ground floor and essentially vertically integrate, which is generally impermissible by MRTA, unless you're a micro business, or now if you are a medical company who already on the medical side grows, processes, distributes, packages, markets, and sells your own product. So they will be vertically integrated on the adult use side in the same manner as they will on the retail side, with some caveats. So one of the caveats is a medical retailer will have to have 70% of its product on the retail side be from an outside source within New York. And that is an effort by OCM to protect against the social equity and other general licensees who aren't on the medical side from vertical integration, but there's still vertical integration, and at least 30% of the retail product can be the result of that vertical integration. So it's difficult, right? This was supposed to not happen, and it's happening as a result of need, and it's been expanded a little bit. I believe the deadlines and the time frames have been moved up for all three of those medical operation retail stores to be operational. I think January 26, if I'm not mistaken. So that is, it's a big change, right? It's huge. And in the interim period of time, they'll be able to raise some revenue, and I expect, you know, folks with medical operations, at least sizable ones, and that's all that exists in New York, right? To be able to pay that amount and want to do that and get in on the ground floor. Now, there's a lot of chatter from both the card applicants, for sure, who have voices with OCM now and have, you know, regular off board meetings about this, and you know, they're not very happy. This could very well lead to additional litigation. I would anticipate that it would, because they feel like they will be shut out, or at least effectively shut out, if the large players are large multi-state players at that are allowed to come in and kind of punch them and beat them to the market and then scale them out completely, right? And I've had some talks with my clients on this, and you know, for a small business, the way that MRTA was planned to get up operational, functioning, and profitable, you know, it's not going to happen immediately. You know, it might be a 3 or 4 year period where these folks are getting their business up and functional, operational, and profitable. You know, some of those clients see the introduction of the medical folks and the larger organizations as you know, problematic to that, right? As you know, maybe they never turn that corner in that 3 to 4 years. You know, if they can't compete on the front end with them, and it's a real concern. It's being talked about. It will be addressed to OCM for sure. They have a meeting, I believe, tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and it could very well be the subject of litigation.
I'm here once again with the lead of the cannabis practice team at Thero Fritz, Jason Little. And the website for them is FarrellFritz.com, FarrellFritz.com. Back after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Jason Little, lead of the cannabis practice team at Farrell Fritz. Now, that office of cannabis management, what, by coming up and being on board now, the rollout of the New York market, we've seen some promising things, okay? And it's not as if the state of New York has not been trying to be active, could be more proactive, could be doing more, but you can see that at least New York State is trying to get on top of this. They're trying to address, and they're trying to be as transparent as possible. So right now, but the current situation is, in New York State, you have 23 legal shops now selling cannabis. Meanwhile, there's still thousands of illicit shops in New York City alone bypassing boards in the state. And ULCM has not responded to requests for comment. The city.nyc, I'm taking this from, and they put out a press release saying that there were a string of workshops being made across the state to answer questions for potential licensees about the general application process. But in the meantime, Governor Kathy Hochul has spoken, and I'm taking it from NBC4 New York, that they're going to try to expand the legal market by the hundreds, which is where we're seeing the licensees being put in. And that what they have said in the same point was, in the illicit sales, they have made a dent on it by being able to go ahead and seize 80,500 pounds of cannabis seized with a street value of more than $42 million after 246 inspections. That's, you know, that's a significant. It's still so much more that's out there. When you look at that pendulum right now, it still swings so much. The illicit market is still taking advantages and, you know, breaking the law. Meanwhile, law abiding that you're working with right now are stuck and kind of frozen in space.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And it's and I'm going to echo your sentiment. It's not that New York isn't working in the right way to get it right. Right. I think they had a very progressive and advanced form of law, and they took from California and Massachusetts and Colorado and others who had come before them. They found, you know, where they were equitable and where they weren't, and they wanted to really try and do the right thing. And sometimes that requires growing pains, and it requires not growing pains, and it also requires some patience, you know. So I think they're doing the right thing, and I think they have it ship going the right way. The problem, as you mentioned, is the illicit market. And that's a problem for two reasons. One, it is always likely going to be cheaper if you can run. I mean, some of these illegal market, these illegal operations are running as a retail store would, with retail space and our advertising. And there's just not anything being done about it. And Governor Hochul, to her credit, put in the, I believe it was the window stickers, right, that you had to have in order to operate a cannabis shop. There's only, I think you said 23, I think that's right. I thought 23 or 24 of them are open now. So, you know, they are directly competing with folks that don't have any of the capital costs or licensing costs or regulatory costs that they do. And there, you know, there isn't enough of an open market yet to compete at all with the illegal market. Now, on the flip end of it, you know, there's been, and this is just my opinion, but I think that by allowing the larger medical folks to come in and undercut the small business folks, at least in theory, right, it could create the same type of problem, because you're taking that group of folks and, you know, on the small business side, and you're saying, well, you're more incentivized to operate legally because you can't compete legally. And we don't want to create an environment in New York where that's true. And again, that's yet to be seen. It's just something I would throw out there. And you know, maybe in a year or so, we're having that conversation. You know, has the illegal market went away, or has the small business market went away and either joined the illegal market or moved out of the cannabis space entirely? And what does the operational retail dispensary market look like? And it might be bigger than Merge Ahead, bigger companies operating than Merge Ahead ever expected.
It's a lot. And I mean, even The Guardian last month also put out a report about why are there so few licenses being doled out in New York State when you have, you know, the legal market now in place. And look, with New York State, New York City alone, the immigration issue, you know, protests right now over the war over Israel and Hamas and the Gaza Strip, all that going on, it's not helping matter. So police are already going to be stretched out as it is. But, you know, there's to get this market in place, and also just to still think about the bottom line of the tax revenue that needs to be coming in for this. Like, if there still is something that can be done more to crack down the illicit market. I mean, even there was more that was brought up in terms of, you know, the current fines right now. Illegal sale of cannabis starts at $10,000 per day, can go up to $20,000 per day. I mean, I guess it should be more than that. You got to be able to shut these people down and not even give them a chance to go and recover. And so there's recovering money for the illicit market and not making companies pay a $20 million special licensing fee. I think you're going to get better off by letting the police go and do what they need to do and give them what they need, the padlock orders, whatever is necessary, so they can go ahead and recoup the money that's coming in that the illicit market is taking away.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, listen, I think it's still criminal to do what the illegal and illicit market is doing, and particularly the folks doing it public. The question is, you know, and that starts with police departments, both local, you know, county and state, and the AG's office. And there does need to be a crackdown. And whether that happens, it hasn't happened yet, at least not in large scale. And again, Governor Hochul tried, and she is trying. She has the right idea. It's you know, the intention is well. There's got to be follow through on the back end, or it will always damage the legalized market, which it's legalized for a reason, right? It's reliable. It's regulated, it's safe for consumers. And you know, it's an entrepreneurial way to create tax revenue for all of the people in New York, but also to generate, you know, hundreds and thousands of small businesses that are operating legitimately and hiring folks to work in their shops, and marketing folks to market their product. So that's the wheel you're on, right? Unless you're in the illegal market, and that doesn't exist. So, yeah, I mean, I think the AG's office and the state police and the local police departments could and should probably crack down on this much more. It's just, it's also, you know, it's contrary to MRTA, right? So, you know, enforcing prior laws in contravention of what the new law is kind of trying to do, right? MRTA is trying to decriminalize, you know, marijuana, both in possession and sale, and, you know, we're recriminalizing it on the illegal market. But I think it would be for a good reason and cause, and, you know, I think the intention is there to do it. And we'll see how that goes as new stores open and the capital to, you know, that my clients, you know, so I can take a couple in particular, right? I have two card licensees who are reapplying for a final license to for a number of reasons, including to circumvent the injunction and to get a final license, to be honest with you. But they are putting capital out of their own pocket, and they understand that the return on their investment might not be for several years, but, you know, it's starting to become a real concern, right? You know, when does this happen? When am I operational? How do my operations look? Where am I buying? Do we have enough cultivators on board, or are they going to be selling to the bigger operations that need to supply 70% of outside product? So we're not there. It's exciting times, actually. I don't think it's not concerning. It's super exciting. It's just there's a lot of questions And cracking down on the illegal market would help significantly. I'll just speak for me and what I'm advising my clients. It would help significantly to ease their concerns and really get them moving in the right direction to ramp up their capital investment into these retail outlets.
So from what we've gone through so far, I mean, the last 10 months going through and seeing this process play out and seeing just what's being done, all I can at least say is the one positive is I can say, look, you got Senator Schumer that is trying to go and get some kind of legal, some kind of passage of something going on. Obviously, if they can't get a Safe Banking Act, let's get another safe style banking act in place, sign that and see if we can get the Senate to go and go through committee, get it up for a vote. The same thing going with, the recommendation of the DEA of rescheduling cannabis from 1 to 3, and obviously the tax revenue that would come back to companies, that would be also a big windfall for them, probably in 2025. And then seeing right here where in New York City itself, the governor is trying to make the attempts. And the governor is obviously the one that's been up in front on this, along with the OCM, to try to make things better. And so it's good to go and see that more applications are being done, a lot more possibilities for people to go ahead and apply. There is no cap on that. The idea of trying to get less MSOs to be applying and to get more individual or social equity applicants in place, that's obviously the initiative they have. So going with what you're doing right now at Feral Fritz, what can you tell me about what you're involved with or your team's involved with now in the application process? Has it been anything where, have you had a chance to really work pretty intently on that? And has there been a lot of issues when it comes to trying to go and help them make the process through and get to that 6-day window and get them up and running?
So we have engaged with clients in that process. We have a couple of them right now that are going through the retail process and one on the cultivation side for a final. We had been involved in it since the original cultivation. I have been involved in it with a particular client since the original cultivation and processor licenses opened, which seems like a really long time ago. And I want to say, mid to fall 2021, but I could be completely mistaken there. But we have two card licenses who are transitioning over to a final adult use license as we speak. The process so far has been relatively similar to the process for the conditional license. So it hasn't been difficult or terrible. It's pretty easy to operate and work through with a little foresight. A couple of things I would recommend up front. Whatever business, however you're going to be organized as a business, preferably, an LLC or a corporation for limited liability and tax purposes. But you would want to have that formed up front. Obviously, you have to get that done and approved. You have to have your interests documented. You would have to find your location or your beneficial location. Make sure that it's a possibility, because you have to have a actual place confirmed in order to get a license. You can get a provisional license in this round of applications if you do not have a particular space. This is on the retail, adult use retail side. But if you have 12 months then to secure a place, which is potentially problematic, finding landlords, finding space, finding landlords that don't have mortgages that make for sticky issues because of federal legalization or the lack of federal legalization. So that's a set of issues that we are dealing with our clients, finding space, finding affordable space, and then obviously retrofitting it. But that's all part of the application process. You need to have a location. You need to have a business entity structure. You need to have an organization chart. You need to contemplate having a point of sale vendor. You need to have then the agreements in place with those service provider, the service agreements that are required. So there's a lot going on within the application. The application itself is pretty straightforward. Most of the folks that have reached out to me for advice are folks that started that process whether it was the application itself or the informational portion, and said, oh, how do you suggest I do this? And, you know, always happy to take a look at those and advise. Now, that's not just for the adult use retail side. It's also for cultivators, distributors, and processors. It's a little different for those folks with grow plans and et cetera, but it's pretty straightforward. It's not too difficult to do. You just have to spend the time and the money to do it, because, you know, they're not free. You have to apply. I think the adult use application is $1,000, and I believe the license is $3,000 if you're approved. So
yeah, it's all the extra money up front that just kind of, I just can't believe how much they're asking for just up front, and just those kind of things that are going on. And then on top of that, we talked before and about the social equity applicants, and I've talked with other social equity applicants in New York, talk about how they got their dispensaries up and going, you know, dealing with the issues of temporary opening, you know, just soft openings, and again coming back down, going through inspections, getting them back open again. All those kind of things are still becoming a big part of where this is all at. I'm here with Jason Little, lead of the cannabis practice team at Farrell Fritz, here on Blunt Business. Back after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Jason Little, lead of the cannabis practice team at Farrell Fritz. Let's talk to listeners again for the website so people can go ahead and learn more about Farrell Fritz and really get a chance to connect with your team. It's FARRELLFRITZ.com. And for those who go to the website, real quickly, who should be able to reach out to you in terms of what you could do, which areas you cover, and, you know, give a call to action out there for our listeners, those that should be reaching out to you and why?
Yeah, I think there's two types of folks that should be reaching out. If you are entrepreneurial and you are interested in the adult use cannabis business or adult use cannabis on any level, right? Cultivation, processing, distribution, microbusiness, medical service organizations. Otherwise, if you're folks that are looking to get into this market or are in it and are looking to turn into the adult use, those folks reach out, and I'm happy to talk with them. I talk with them often. I do a lot of group calls with a group of card licensees. And then the second set of folks are obviously the folks that are within the application process or have already completed it and are stymied and stalemated and need assistance now, right? So those are the folks that are on the application side. I mean, obviously these are businesses. They need to be formed and operate like businesses in a highly regulated market. So just like any other business would need counsel, cannabis businesses will need counsel. I don't want to say more so than others, but after the initial license process is completed and the big sigh of relief is gained, then that's where a lot of the work starts. So a lot of my calls are actually with folks who have licenses and are like, okay, so now I need to get a hold of municipalities. I need to find space. Can you take a look at my lease? Can you look at my proposed lease? Should I buy? How do I approach service providers and in particular point of sale providers and financial institutions? So, you know, how do I link up with distributors and cultivators or vice versa? How do, you know, I grow, you know, where do I find lists of acceptable processors and ultimately retail markets? So those are the types of calls I get. I'm happy to work anybody through those processes. And you can look at the website, see a list of all of the things we do. It's a team of folks here that help, not just myself. So we're happy to field any call, really, and just talk through the issues. And if we can help, we would love to do it. And if we can't, you know, we'll try to find somebody that can.
Fantastic. Really appreciate you taking time out again, Jason, to go ahead and talk to us and follow back up on this. I'm glad we had the opportunity again here with Jason A. Little, head of the cannabis practice team at Feral Fritz. Again, the website is Feral, FarrellFritz.com. Jason, thanks again. We'll definitely keep in touch.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And also, listeners, thank you for listening for another Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.